And welcome back to A Closer Look. I'm Dennis O'Hare with Rose Scott. Georgia's new state school superintendent, Republican Richard Woods, has only been in office a month, and already he's been presented with a plan from Governor Deal for the state to take over up to 20 failing schools per year. Those schools would be put into what's called an opportunity district. The district superintendent would have the power to hire and fire principals, set curricula, and in general, operate the district. The opportunity district superintendent would report to Governor Deal, not to state superintendent Woods. And I began part one of our conversation with Richard Woods by asking him about that.
Well, I think I'm encouraged that the governor is interested in making sure that each child has a very successful school to attend. It is something I think we need to address, and we are addressing at the DOE as well. The information itself, it's relatively new, so we're looking at all the aspects of the legislation. I think more will be rolling out this week. So, we're taking a good look at it. I also will be traveling to Louisiana to look at the model that's there. And, I'm looking forward, to see what entails with this. But I think that also some good things that within the department, we just rolled off 38 schools off the list. And so, our focus still is to be very active in that area and making sure that we're doing our part to make sure these schools don't get on the list.
Did the governor consult with you before he rolled out his plan?
Well, I think we've been in some deliberation with that. Of course, some of these things were, prior to getting into office. So we just recently have come on board with that. But we are having individuals that have discussions and being a part of the process. So we look forward to doing that in the days to come.
You've been a teacher yourself. And when you notice that a whole lot of the schools on that list have a higher than normal percentage of students in poverty, doesn't that say that we have more than schools failing here?
Well, I think, for myself, I worked in what we called a Title I school system, which, of course, is a poverty district. We know, I think, from just basic, data that we have been able to retrieve that poverty does play a big part in success. I think, looking at, the skill set, the vocabulary, the reading level that these children bring in there, definitely we know that there is more than just a school involved. And I think that when we look at that, and any time we look at a school system, we're, going to take those things into account. And I believe that, the governor will do that as well.
Take it into account how? How would you suggest he take it into
account? Well, I think that, when you look at, prioritizing what we do in education, I think one of the things I've been very consistent with, is the one size, does not fit all model. And I think that's something we have looked at with, of course, coming out of No Child Left Behind, that any time you look at an individual school, you have to look at the complete dynamics. And I think by taking a school one at a time, you can do that because you have to look at the environment and you have to look at the situation. You have to look at the personnel and definitely your student base and community. So I think, as schools look at that, again, what I've encouraged is more of a personalized instead of a standardized view. And I think this is a move towards that.
Speaking of one size does not fit all, DeKalb Superintendent Michael Thurmond has said in response to what we know of the governor's plan so far, look, why not adjust the funding formula to make sure that we can address the schools that are at greatest need? Does that idea make sense to you?
Well, I think, looking at the funding formula, I think the governor has, promoted that, and we'll be hearing more about that in the days to come. I think probably looking at the funding formula, some of the initial findings will be this summer with the task force. So that is being done as well, I think, where we look at that. But I think that, we as schools and school systems have to look at as far as prioritizing. And that means looking at internally as well to make sure that what we are doing actually aligns up that. For myself, that means as far as the DOE, to make sure that we are not putting educational barriers on school systems so they can fully address those things. So we're looking internally as well so that we can better support our local school systems.
Yet, as you know from having worked in the system, we have been through years of austerity cuts, and even granting that money is hardly the only answer, you can certainly spend money and not get results. Are the problems we're seeing now just the logical result of all those years of cuts?
Well, I don't think you could say, they're necessarily cuts, because if you look back, there are issues that we have had. I think for myself, being in the system for 22 years, seeing some things, as far as looking at you know, the way we teach or the emphasis on what we teach. Again, I'd look back at No Child Left Behind, again, you know, where we began to really see an overemphasis on testing and the standardization of testing. And in many cases, that is really what has driven, you know, education, you know, over the past decade or so. And but we are seeing a little bit of a transition with that. I think going back to seeing an increase of what I would say the college career technical, you know, emphasis and availability to our students, which will be good. I think for myself, I'm very pleased with the governor. You know, we share, you know, a belief that literacy is the key. And again, that's something we have talked about in education, but now I think we're set to actually do something about that. And I think that will play a big or have a big impact on our students.
So what would you like to see the governor include in his plan, especially for those at-risk schools?
Well, I think, you know, looking at the prioritization for each school system to allow or each school to really do an asset inventory completely to say what are our existing needs, what are the strengths, what are the, you know, downfalls, you know, looking at, you know, what we as even the state, hopefully that we as the Department of Education can be a partner in that and providing resources and profit, nonprofit availability to that and be a support, you know, with them in the process. Because I think, you know, if we work together, we can get through this.
The governor's measure for deciding which schools will get this kind of state intervention is the College and Career Ready Performance Index. Again, on the subject of one size doesn't fit all, does that seem like the right measuring stick to you?
Well, I think for myself, and again, going back to the campaign, the CCRPI, what you've talked about, it, you know, it's always been a little bit of a concern to me. We at the DOE are looking at, you know, trying to do an audit of that particular measurement to make sure that we do have something that is fair. And again, you know, I think we don't fear accountability, but I think accountability has become what responsibility as well. And I think this will be something that we can, you know, work with the governor and, you know, the various agencies to make sure that this is, you know, the correct measurement. I know it's something new. So, you know, anytime we have something new, we have to take our time and just look at what is the information we are actually getting out of this. I know there are some things that at least I'm aware of that I think we need to change because it looks more of a, you know, just clicking buttons, you know, on a computer to get some points. And we want to make sure that we're just not point getters, but actually addressing student learning.
What are some of those things that you think we need to change?
Well, I think, you know, the one item that I'm, you know, definitely familiar with is, you know, where teachers have been encouraged to visit some of the professional learning site, but you basically go there and just click on pages. And, you know, the number of clicks you get, basically, you know, you begin to accumulate points for your system. So, you know, it really doesn't say that I really did anything other than visit, you know, a page on a website.
And a professional learning site is someplace where teachers can go to sharpen skills. Is that basically it?
That's correct, yes, or receive information from there. Yes.
So you're saying just don't measure the number of clicks?
Yes. Well, I think you have to look at, you know, what is actually taking place. And I think that if all you do is visit and just basically cursory go through the information, it doesn't make our teachers better. And I think that, you know, teachers, you know, they want the professionalism and they want to be able to grow. And I think that, you know, they would appreciate and said, this is something where we need to be a little bit more sound in what we do so that we can better spend our time.
If the College and Career Ready Performance Index is not maybe the best measuring device for deciding when a school might really need state help, then what would be, do you think?
Well, again, I'm not throwing out the CCRPI itself. I think that's why at this point in time I'm saying let's review. One of the things I found out in education, we flux so much and, you know, throwing out the baby with the bathwater, something new. And that's why this is, again, something new, and I think let's take a review of it. Let's actually evaluate it, reach out to our school systems and teachers and find out what actually is working, what actually is not working, and how can we improve it.
Just as a general thought here, is state intervention really the answer for school systems that are really struggling?
Well, I think it's one part of the pie. I don't think, you know, you can say it in isolation because I think that, you know, when we're looking at state intervention, you know, what does state intervention mean? It may mean reaching out to the business community. It may mean eventually reaching out to the private sector. You know, again, until we see everything that's, you know, all-encompassing proposed amendment itself, you know, we're just going to have to see what it is. But there is definitely no one size fits all. And I think that as many educational relationships and partners that we can build, you know, it'll help, you know, secure that. But we have to have buy-in from the community and definitely buy-in, you know, with our families and students as well.
We talked a moment ago about changing the funding formula. The governor has a commission on that. There are no active teachers on that funding commission right now. Does that concern you? Do you think there should be?
Well, I think, you know, we're looking at, you know, we do have superintendents and we do have various individuals in that. For us at the DOE, again, as the process continues, I mean, we will, you know, feel free to offer our thoughts on that. And again, one of the things we'll be doing, we'll be talking with our teachers, talking with our local school systems and being an active partner with that. So, you know, I'm not, you know, afraid of that right now. It's just, you know, meetings, it's committees. You know, we've kind of done this, you know, somewhat before, but, you know, I'm looking forward and very encouraged that at least we are now talking about something that really has been out of date since its conception in 1985. So I'm encouraged that at least it's on the table.
But you've been a teacher yourself. Wouldn't you have wanted your voice in a body that's deciding how to change the formula that directly affects you?
Well, I think so. I mean, you look at everything as far as, you know, who's on the committee. It doesn't mean that, you know, just because you have a name there that we're not active. And again, I expect that for us at the DOE, we will be a very loud voice for teachers. And, you know, and I, you know, look forward to working with the governor on this. And, you know, because it's a difficult challenge, to say the least. You know, I'm encouraged and very optimistic.
We were talking about testing a moment ago. There's a bill in the legislature that would end the state's graduation test. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think for myself looking at it, I think the graduation test itself, I always look at, you know, for me, let's look at the whole testing system. I think we have to look at why we test, how we test. I've been, you know, supportive of the bill itself because it addresses the need with the waivers that we deal monthly up here at the local at our state board meetings. And again, I think putting everyone on the same playing field and not penalizing those people who, you know, perhaps did not graduate, you know, years ago, and again, actually 30 years ago, based on a test we don't offer right now. So I think for myself, at least addressing that need has been one of the primary concerns that is, you know, centered around the bill itself.
And when you're talking about waivers, you're talking about individual cases where students didn't pass the test but then would be granted a waiver so they could graduate?
Yes, basically. Yes, that's correct.
What would you say to somebody then who says, okay, if you end the graduation test, your graduation rate might go up, but it doesn't mean you're actually raising achievement. It doesn't mean you've necessarily accomplished anything.
Well,
how would you know without a test?
Yeah. Well, I think that there, again, looking at what is the benefit of the test. And in my concern, again, I would say for me as a social studies teacher, we, of course, were part of the graduation, you know, testing system. But what you found out is so much in social studies was taught in isolation. So by the time you took the test, it may have been 2 or 3 years before you actually had even seen that material. So there is some delay. And I think that's, you know, going back to prioritizing what we are actually trying to teach. I think, of course, math and reading and or language is very, very important, not to diminish any of the other subjects. So I think we're trying to right now evaluate what we are actually testing and what is the benefit of testing. One of the concerns I do have is even with our kids, even we've had these tests, we look at the number of kids that are taking remedial math and remedial English in our technical schools, our 4-year colleges, looking at the military. And, you know, and that's been a concern that I've expressed, that even with these tests, you know, unless we do something to address learning needs, then, you know, I'm not sure what validity the test has.